B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome into the program. It's Felger and Maserati, presented to you by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and we'll simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. It's an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Friday is brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. We'll get to that in a second. I am on location. We got Big Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Fellas, how you doing?
Hi, Mike. Hi.
I will not be fooled into exchanging a pleasantry with you.
Good. Very good, Matt. You learn well. So we get right to it. This is what we do. While we give out the number and we release the hounds, we give opening takes. Everything from the week we have gotten to or have yet to get to, it is all up to your tremendous phone calls. So I'll give you the number, 617-779-0985. As soon as Jimmy's got him up and ready, you will be accepted onto the phone bank. In the meantime, we give you opening thoughts to fill until that time. So, Murray, I'd like you to go first. What do you got?
Sure. Because it's 2020, the worst year ever that gets worse by the day, and we're never getting out of it, trademark Jimmy Stewart. Let's add another terrible log to the dumpster fire, because some of you people, mainly the perpetually aggrieved on social media, have forced me into a position I never, ever, ever thought I would find myself in today, and that is defending a dirtbag's dirtbag in Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins, about to be changed, obviously. Washington Post story drops late yesterday, and yeah, it's all bad, level of harassment that the women had to deal with in that work environment, reprehensible, awful, all those named, responsible, they had to go, they should be rightfully shamed. But now having read it, for free, I might add, because like Adam Jones, I'll pay for news never, what is Dan Snyder, again, the owner of the team, truly guilty of? And reading this thing, he's guilty of having an understaffed and half-assed human resources department. But that's it. That's the one fact in that story you could use against Daniel Snyder. But what are the feelings against Dan Snyder today? Well, for some, the all-important feelings are that Dan Snyder needs to be forced out as the owner of the team. And that's where you people lose me. And I know, shame on me, I still want facts to matter. But if you're demanding Snyder be removed, simply based on this story, I will ask you, based on what fact? Because are there factual pieces of evidence that show that he's really got to go? Like there were with the former Panthers owner, Jerry Richardson, who was blatantly sexually harassing people, was overt racist. Same with the Clippers owner, Donald Sterling. And there's not. There's not. And maybe, and most likely, that just means that Daniel Snyder's lawyers did their job. And sorry, not sorry. I'd still like that to matter, because as flawed as it might be, I still believe in the legal system. I still believe in due process. I still believe in facts, not feelings, in costing someone their livelihood. And yeah, I mean, look, there's more to this story probably, but again, I think these lawyers likely scared the living hell out of the Post or whatever it is. And if that's what happened, I know that sucks for a lot of people to hear, especially in these oversensitive times. I still would like that to matter, because unless there's direct accusations against Daniel Snyder, again, a dirtbag's dirtbag, who I feel like I need to shower after I'm defending this a-hole, he shouldn't be forced to sell his business simply because he's an incompetent a-hole. The bar has to be a lot higher than that, and I'd like to think that it still can be.
So you're talking to the fellow NFL owners, and if you were a fellow NFL owner, Jim, you'd be fighting for Dan Snyder to keep control of the team.
Well, do you think that they're the only team with this kind of issue? You know, so I think that's one of the other things, too. You're not going to see the other 31 owners really try to force him out, because do they want people looking into what goes on in their offices as well? You mean to tell me this is the only place this is going on? So I don't think you're going to see it from the other owners. You're seeing it from, you know, the Nana Florios of the world, and it's always the same people. And I get it. Like, it's a horrible story, and those women should not have had to deal with that. But based on the story, Daniel Snyder's guilty of a bad HR department and incompetence? I'm sorry, the bar has to be higher if you want to try to force him out. There has to be hard evidence, like there was against Jerry Richardson and there was against Donald Sterling. I still believe in that.
Well, so again, I want to talk about this further, because I mean, I want to know who you're talking to. It's like the woke media doesn't have the power to do it. It's up to the 31 other
I know, but they'll try. They'll try.
Well, fine. Let them try. I mean, there's always some a-hole somewhere trying to try something. If you're one of the 31 NFL owners, are you fighting to keep Dan Snyder in control of the team, or are you trying to move on from Dan Snyder? It's not like the law is coming down on Dan Snyder, or the Supreme Court actually protected his team name. I mean, that's a protected team name. He can keep it. No one's knocking on his door. The government's not knocking on his door. You don't have to arm yourself, Murray, against the government. No government's coming after him, and people are just being people. So it's up to a private business to decide whether they want Dan Snyder in their club or not. If you were in that club, would you want Dan Snyder in that club or not? That's sort of the question. So we'll get to that. McCarthy, what's your update?
Yeah, so the pitching coach of the Houston Astros said something this week that went straight up my tailpipe, and given that I have 90 seconds here or whatever to rip him, I will certainly do that. Take a listen to this a-hole saying that the umps cost the Astros the World Series last year.
I still reflect back, and I know people laugh at me about it. On my screensaver on my computer is the 2-1 changeup that he threw to Soto that was a strike that got called a ball in the seventh inning, and I think changed the entire World Series. Otherwise, we'd be wearing World Series rings with Cole coming in the eighth and ninth, and we would have another ring. But the pitch was there. It was not called a strike. Human error. Computer had it as 95% strike, and I'm still pissed about it, to be quite frank. So I hold on to grudges.
All right, first and foremost, it's 2020. Who uses a screensaver? Secondly, not to mention the balls on this guy, after literally stealing a World Series 2 years before that, to come out and say the umps stole a World Series from us because they missed one strike call in the seventh inning of Game 7, get out of here with that. And most importantly, guys, he's wrong. He's dead wrong. Yeah, Zach Greinke got squeezed on that pitch. Bad call, whatever. It's not the reason you lost. The reason you lost is because your dirty, rotten cheater of a manager is also an idiot robot who pulled Greinke at 80 pitches while he was throwing a two-hitter in Game 7 of the World Series and literally punching his ticket to Cooperstown at that time. But it's all the ump's fault? Seriously, you loser. Get out of here with that. The umpires did not cost you the World Series. You cost yourself the World Series because you suck. Oh, God. If there's nothing that drives me more crazy, it's people. Oh, it's the refs. It's the refs. It's not the refs. It's you. You lost because it was your fault.
That was Matt McCarthy. He's the author. The host of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast, Hardcore Baseball Guy. Only he would have an opening take like that, Murray. Because if I asked you, Murray, quick, real quick, who was in the World Series last year?
It was the Nationals and Astros. but I got it right.
You'd have to think. Do you have any idea what McCarthy's talking about? Do you remember that game?
Short like
1 inch of it?
Oh, come on.
Matt, I have no idea what you're talking about. This is baseball. We only care if it's our team, and then we care for like 10 minutes, okay? The Red Sox open up a week from today. I am excited for it. I am happy for it. I will invest in the Red Sox. That is my team-ish. You know, it's a team I invest in, and so I'm okay with it. The rest of it? I have no idea what you're talking about, McCarthy.
Well, thank you for the 90-second platform. I appreciate it.
Well, no, I mean, if you want to weigh in on it out there, but I guarantee you, Matt, 90% of the people out there are saying, what is he talking about? When did that game happen? What's he talking about? No one pays attention to neutral site baseball. Yeah, who is that? 617-779-0985. My opening take is on David Pastrnak. I have more on it coming up. But the part I want to hit on is that I think that while I think he deserves a tremendous amount of criticism, him and Cache, for not being ready to go, and for whatever reason, not being able to join their teammates at practice, I think that's on them. I think that does not speak well of them. I think David Pastrnak has a long way to go to show me, show the team, show everybody that he gets it, all of that. I do think there is one little bit that's unfair to them, and I mentioned it yesterday, and it's just that's why I'll flush it out a little bit today, and that is the whole unfit to play designation. And you know, if I'm a player, I'm not just blaming the league or the owners, because I believe that phrase was brought up in collective bargaining. I think that was between the players and the owners and the league about how they were going to, you know, the return to play protocols. And I think they came up with that phrase together, or the union was certainly a part of those discussions. So yeah. I'm not just blaming the owners, but that what they're supposed to do to protect the COVID-19 positive tests, they're going to treat anyone who misses practice or doesn't show unfit to participate, okay? And I just think that phrase, Murray, unfit, It connotes like...
Well, you know the first word I think of,
mental...
Mike? You're a disgrace.
What?
Disgrace is the first...
Yeah.
That's what the first word I think of. You're unfit. You're unfit to be here. You're unfit to participate. You're a disgrace. Like, that's something I would expect to hear from my dad when I was 16.
Seriously. So, like, you think... The first thing you think of is, hungover.
Yeah.
But is it like, are you mentally unfit? Are you... You're just unfit as a human being. Like, unfit connotes like...
Yeah, it doesn't paint a pretty picture.
It's like you're dysfunctional. You're unable to cope, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
a lack of functionality. Functionality. That's a great way to put it.
They need a different word,
yeah.
You know, especially for the guys who aren't dealing with COVID. Like, for example, I think Nordstrom today was not at practice, so they had to say unfit to participate. But Cassie says he's going to be back tomorrow. So it leads you to believe it's not COVID. Yet Pastrnak and Kashe are still, you know, they don't know when they're going to be back. Their status is sort of in limbo. They haven't really specified, other than Cassidy to say today, that it wasn't disciplinary. It wasn't a lack of conditioning. Okay, it wasn't those two things. So now you're really narrowing it down. But, you know, either way, it's like they have to come up with a different phrase. Because if I said I have to take tomorrow off because I'm unfit to work.
Yeah, it's because you're hammered or hungover.
No, I mean, I'd like a different sort of personal day. Like, can we just stick with that? Or I just think the unfit to participate is a tough designation for those guys. So anyway, that's my opening take. As promised, we'll go right to your phones in the opening segment at 617-779-0985. Tom and Newton will lead us off on David Pastrnak. If you could pot him up there, Jimmy on line two. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys, just wanted to weigh in on David Pastrnak. I mean, this thing pisses me right off. I mean, I'm looking at these pictures of, you know, Pastrnak in the North End where the food isn't even that good, let's be honest. And he's, like, down there screwing around. I mean, I don't know if we know everything that there is to, you know, hear about that story, but seriously, like, last year we said, you know, that's, like, the Bruins' last best shot at winning a title. You know, they come back this year, you know, they're dialed in, it's on the table again. Obviously, everything that happened, but, you know, they're in a situation where they don't have to travel, you know, it's on the table, and we're really screwing around, like, with these guys. I mean, if he gets coronavirus or gives it to the team, and, you know, Bettman looks at this and is like, you know what, no, you guys can't come into the bubble. I mean, how pissed would we be if they miss guys because of that? He's just not taking it seriously. I can't stand that.
Agreed. You should be pissed. And I don't even know if it's COVID. I don't even know if it was from the rolling around the North End. I have no idea what it is. I know everyone else is out there and he's not. That's all I know. And you're responsible to get your butt on the ice. And if he were hurt, he were hurt. He was hurt. You know, that is beyond his control. But otherwise, you know, $6+ million a year, you're a grown-ass man. You're one of the best players in the league on the Stanley Cup favorite. Get your ass on the ice and be one of the first one there and be a team leader. And he wasn't. And so I don't really care. What, you know, frankly, short of something that wasn't his fault. And I'll tell you, something leads me to believe, you know, that the team's holding it against him, too, at least a little bit, because they're not, Cassidy said today, they came from Europe, talking about Pastrnak and Kashe, they came from Europe, and like a lot of guys, they had to quarantine separate from the team and have X amount of negative tests. If it's just about having an amount of negative tests, then they're allowed to go about their business. This isn't personal discipline against those guys. If anything, when you've been out that long, you have to go the other way and skate them more to get up to speed. We're not disciplining anybody on our team right now for any individual action. This is all unfit to participate right now. I'd love to tell you something different or better, but that's where they are listed as right now. It's his responsibility to get out there, and he's not out there. And I think, especially someone who's, you know, that important to the team, I think he deserves criticism. I think he deserves scrutiny at the very least, and so we're going to give it to him. And we'll get to your calls. I want to flush out Murray's point on Dan Snyder as well. Right to you after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Filger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Filger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The pro football team in Washington has long been accused of racism with regard to its now defunct team name. Tonight, the allegation is a long-running pattern of sexism. The Washington Post published a story Thursday afternoon detailing the accusations of 15 former female employees and two female sports writers regarding a pattern of abusive behavior by team personnel. The Post reports that in the last week, as it brought the allegations to the team for comment, three employees who were accused of sexist behavior suddenly departed. That includes longtime radio voice Larry Michael, director of pro personnel Alex Santos, his assistant Richard Mann. The Post detailed case after case of staff members harassing female employees in the years between 2006 and 2015. Further, the women brought into question whether higher-ups, including the team owner Dan Snyder and former team president Bruce Allen, were aware of the abuse. As for the women who felt victimized, one put it this way: we all tolerated it because we knew if we complained, and they reminded us of this, there were 1,000 people out there who would take our job in a heartbeat. So summarizing the key points from a comprehensive story, 15 employees, two reporters covering the team, accused the organization of sexual harassment and verbal abuse from former scouts and members of Daniel Snyder's inner circle.
All right, so that's Kenny Mayne on ESPN. Resigning the particulars of that Washington Post story, not quite the bombshell we were hoping for or were led to believe in some quarters. Maybe Dan Snyder's lawyers got out ahead of it. But the question now is should that be enough to push Daniel Snyder out as owner of the Washington Redskins? And Murray, you say no.
No, because unless he can truly be proven to be personally involved, those other 31 owners, I don't think they're going to set a precedent by forcing him out over misconduct by team employees under him, because then that precedent could be used against other owners somewhere down the line. I think that's kind of a slippery slope for some of these guys, and I think you'd be pretty naive if you believe that the Washington team is the only team with this kind of issue.
So if you were a fellow owner and there was a vote up or down to keep Dan Snyder in the club, you would vote up, keep him in?
I'll tell you this. If I'm the Saints ownership, you know, and they didn't lose their team for their involvement with the Catholic Church scandal and everything that went on there in the last few years, I would actually keep him in, even though, again, you're defending a complete a-hole in Dan Snyder, and who's, you know, ruined the image of that once proud franchise. I think it's a real touchy subject, and you would have to make sure that you have a pretty clean room too, and I doubt that all those other teams do.
So I understand where you're coming from, Murray, and I understand where you're. I mean, you don't want the woke media to win, and I get it, man. You know how I feel about that. I think they're going to ruin everything. they're going to ruin everything.
They already are.
You know, like, I mean, I'm with you on that. I think that's a real problem. But I was hearing the same things about Donald Sterling. Frankly, the same thing when the story first came out. It's like, these fellow owners aren't going to push him out. What are the skeletons in their closets? What if people start recording them? Because remember, Donald Sterling's, you know, final straw was, wasn't his wife or his girlfriend? Recording, you know, certain things. So now these owners are going to push him out, and other people are going to be recording them, and now we're going to be looking at their skeletons in their closet. You know, and I heard the same thing, and at the end of the day, the league said, you're out. And if I'm a fellow NFL owner, I'm using this as an excuse to push this guy out. He's bad for the league. He's bad for business. I mean, it's been 20 years now. Basically, every story that we get from the Washington Redskins, other than about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes of Robert Griffin his rookie year, is bad news, isn't it? I mean, it's something to do with the racist nickname and his, you know, refusal to change it, or
how they dealt
selling
with Trent Williams last year.
Oh, my God, that's another one, Murray, right? Like, how they try, I mean, and I think those things are all systematic of a completely rotten culture, a completely rotten man in Daniel Snyder, who's bad for the league. Every story, again, other than that little blip when Robert Griffin was a rookie, I mean, I can't think of a positive news story to come out of there in the 20 years he's owned the freaking team. And I think, like I said yesterday, if these are just the things we're seeing above the water, the tip of the iceberg, racism and sexism and, you know, abuse of players and culture, you know, it's far worse underneath. And I think that the fact that these minority owners are looking to get out tells you that. The minority owners should be looking to bail on this, Murray. I mean, do you blame the minority owners if they're trying to bail based off this story?
No. I mean, there's definitely something up if you have, you know, rich people actually saying no to the money, you know, which is ultimately what that kind of looks like with these minority owners. But I do wonder, I can't help but wondering, again, that this came from the Washington Post, the paper that's also owned by Jeff Bezos, and call me a crazy conspiracy theorist, and I thought about it more since we just talked about it for a minute yesterday. Is this also kind of a coup to get him out and to get Jeff Bezos, who does have interest in owning a team and, you know, based there with Amazon, is is this like a power play to try to get him to take over and now own that team? Like, I just I can't help think that.
Oh, I think that's possible. It's entirely possible. That doesn't change what Daniel Snyder is, and that doesn't change what he's done to that franchise. You know, is Daniel Snyder and the Washington Redskins good or bad for the National Football League? Oh, they've been bad. They've hurt the brand of the league. You know, it's really one of the most rotten franchises in all of sports. And the NFL prides itself on the shield and strong ownership and all of this. And so, to me, if I'm the other NFL owners, he's out. Now, I'm not arresting the guy, and I'm not. I mean, like I said to you before, the Washington Redskins name is protected. The Supreme Court a couple of years ago had a case that protected the name. It's not like you need to worry about the liberal government. And, you know, like that's not what's going on here. This is the other NFL owners determining whether Daniel Snyder is good or bad for business. And I think he's categorically bad for business. Let's grab Bill in the car. Bill, do you have a thought on this story?
How you doing, fellas? First time, long time. Before I dive into Snyder, Pasta has the Sagan flu. I'm okay with it. He's leading the league in goals. But in terms of Snyder, again, I think Snyder is 100% on the hook for understaffing his HR department. I think
Okay, your phone blows. Let me ask you this, Jim. How come he's not responsible? He's a hands-on owner. Like, he's in town, in the building, day-to-day operations of the team. He's in on it. Why should he not be responsible for a complete lack of oversight and HR?
Look, you can make a case there. I base this on the cases of Richardson with the Panthers and then with Sterling with the Clippers. Like, you had hard, bad evidence there. And I just think otherwise, like, you're asking for trouble if you're these other 31 owners, if you try to push him out just based on what is there in terms of him, you know, having a thin HR department. I just think that's kind of, again, a slippery slope. I think that's, you're asking for trouble from those other owners, because I'm sure it's not. I'm sure their offices are also shaky throughout the league.
But are you asking for trouble if you allow this guy to keep the team and you don't make a power play now to force him out? Because Felger's point is correct. He's bad for the league. He is bad for the NFL. And that is something that the league as a whole cares about. Now, Richardson was more direct. He was more involved in the, you know, really awful things that were happening there, or at least there was more direct evidence. But they still forced him out. So there is precedent for forcing owners out in the NFL. It ultimately comes down to the fact that Snyder is bad for business.
In all these leagues, they're private clubs. You know, we're not talking about the rights of a human citizen. We're talking about a private club, and the other members of the club have the right to kick your ass out if they don't like you. And if I'm the NFL, I'm kicking this guy's ass out of there. Ray and Revere on an agenda-free Friday. What do you got, Ray?
Hey, I want to make an agenda-free appeal for golf, Michael. You know, in this COVID environment, you know, we're talking mostly about hypothetical sports and a lot of stuff that isn't even happening. And golf's the only sport that's being played right now. You know, and I got to be honest, I'm not listening to the show all that often anymore because you guys just talk too much football year-round.
Ray, you want to...
Let me just make the pitch for golf, okay?
Michael, you just did.
Never been better. DeChambeau is changing the sport. Tiger and Phil are still relevant. And I heard your objection in the past about the country club spoil types. No, the younger guns are all regular guys, guys like Fowler and Reed and Koepka, Justin Thomas, all middle-class kids brought into the sport by Tiger. Give it another look. It's the time to do it.
No, thank you. You want the Hardy Show or the golf club? That's Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings?
No, Saturday morning.
Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports of Hardy's Golf Club.
Ray, he will take a 3-iron and shove it up your keister and pleasure you like you read about. You will have 2, 3, 4 hours of he will take a 2-iron and drive your ass, you know, to the heavens, okay? And you can talk about DeChambeau and, you know, just at one point, how DeChambeau is going to change the game, just like Koepka, just like I forget him now. Spieth,
Justin,
just
Thomas.
Like Rory, just like Justin Thomas, just like David Duval. None of these guys stick because the tour is a bunch of soft weenies. Some guy emerges, wins a little bit, makes a bunch of money, and we never hear from him again. That's modern golf, and that's part of the reason why it blows. And that's part of the reason why you're going to have to tune in to the Hardy Show tomorrow morning at 8 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We continue here on Agenda Free Friday right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So now I'm going to another situation where it's like I get coached by arguably the best coach.
Ever?
Swell.
Arguably.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And now it's like if we was playing spades, it was like, bro, you know we all had a bro, you give me your hand and you take my hand and let's see what you do with it.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Ooh. Yeah.
A little snippet there from Cam Newton, Odell Beckham on the YouTube interview the other night. Again, it's Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. So everything's on the table, everything from the week that we have gotten to or have yet to get to. And I want to replay a bunch of that Cam Newton stuff because I thought that was a doozy. Again, Agenda Free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Matt McCarthy is in today. You had a thought on Cam Newton that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, you know, you guys were talking a lot about the stupid hype video earlier this week that the Patriots put out. Do we really need some type of stupid hype video to tell us that Cam Newton is the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots? I don't think you do. I mean, I heard a lot of that discussion this week. Well, he's got to be the guy. You see the video they put out? No, he's got to be the guy because they signed him on June 28th. Who signs quarterbacks in the National Football League on June 28th? The act of signing this guy is all you need to know. He's the quarterback for 2021. The reason you sign him, to me, is simple. It's that you don't believe in Stidham. That's what it ultimately comes down to, guys, because if they truly believed in Stidham, you're not going to bring in a guy like Cam Newton, who you're then going to build the offense around for 1 year to then turn it back over to Jarrett Stidham next year and what changed the offense back to something that would fit more of Jarrett Stidham. It's going to stunt his development. So signing Cam Newton, to me, says just as much about Newton himself as it does about Jarrett Stidham, and I don't think they believe in him.
Guy co-signed on that one.
Okay, I think you're half right. Murray, you think the video does mean something, though, right?
Oh, yeah, no, that all but ensures that he is your quarterback in 2020. I'm with Matt on that, and I also think that there is an indictment on Jarrett Stidham of sorts and that they have lost confidence in this kid, either by looking at tape or trying to work him out. We don't know, you know, maybe they've worked him out behind the scenes here recently and something, there's been a flaw in his game that they found, or they got pissed that he went to Texas and went to, like, five weddings.
Okay, so that's the piece I agree with. But McCarthy's actually saying, Murray, that the video has nothing to do with it. And that's the part I concur with. I think the video was put out either without Bill's permission or over his objection, or he just, for whatever reason, said, screw it, do what you're going to do. But that was not the football department had nothing to do with it. And they either were overruled or let it go or weren't told.
Phone service was down on the island. Bill didn't know.
Right, people, you know, just like the crafts and the marketing people put up that big banner of Brady a couple of years ago, they just released this video. And unlike the banner, they couldn't take it down. So it's like I don't think the video to me was just the business people. But I disagree with you guys in that I think Cam Newton could not be the starter. I think he could get here and Bill could not like what he sees. I think Bill could check it out, you know, just take a look and see he's not a fit on the field, he's not a fit off the field, etc., and release him. I don't see him as a backup. I would not invite that. I think that would be unfair to Stidham. I think that'd be unfair to Newton. I think that'd just be asking for a world of hurt to put Cam Newton on the bench. So I think it'd be a release or something like that. But I could totally see Newton not winning the job in camp, Matt.
Okay, so I understand where you're coming from on that. I'll just say this. The plan is for him to be the starting quarterback. That's why you sign him with the intent for him to be the starting quarterback. Now, if he comes into camp, you know, isn't healthy, isn't buying in or whatever, sure, then they move on. But let's not ignore the fact that they went out and signed him on June 28th, which tells you all you need to know about Stidham. They don't think he's the guy. They don't think he's ready. So they felt the need to go out and get Newton. That's why he will be the starter unless he screws it up.
Okay. Agenda Free Friday. Back to your phones as promised. Here's Ryan in Medfield on Dan Snyder. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Happy Friday. Yeah, Ryan here, lifelong Redskins fan, 43 years old, so I recall a couple of Super Bowls back in the day. Love the team, but it's been a dumpster fire for the last 20. Can't stand Snyder. Time to blow the whole thing up. Get him out of here. Let's start over. Just a quick education point for the listeners. They were originally the Boston Redskins. They left town in 1937 because New England could not support a professional football team. So ownership moved them on down the road to Washington. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Ryan, we actually know that. The thing is, Murray, do you think it's going to get better under Dan Snyder? Like, is there any chance? Is he a good enough person, a smart enough person, a humble enough person to do the things that it's going to take to turn his franchise around?
Oh, I mean, based on history, absolutely not. But it just seems like, so like, I'll give that team's fan base a pass in that they simply don't like him, so they want him gone. Like, I don't blame you at this point, because you're fans, you pay the money, you want that team to win. But just by and large, again, like, you know, the woke media, like, again, I just feel like unless you can unless there's proof that he explicitly knew about harassment, illegal activity, and took no action, then I really don't see a case for why he should lose the team. And in a sick way, I don't know, in terms of a foil and the Schadenfreude aspect of it and, like, laughing at that team year after year after year, it's kind of I might not be good for the greater good for the business of the NFL, but I kind of like having him around to point and laugh at.
Well, so, you know, Murray, I agree that in and of itself, the Washington Post story would not be enough, you know, just on its own. If he were a good owner who did the right things and had a healthy franchise and was good for the league and this thing came up, I would say, okay, your track record is this. You let this slip away, and it doesn't look good, but it's not a fireball offense. And so, you know, we're going to work with you to get back. But the pattern, I mean, he is driven into the ground. One of the most important, valuable, you know, important NFL franchises in the history of the league. We've talked about this. When we were kids, what the Redskins were, They were a freaking force. They love that team there in D.C., or they used to. And now it's one of those places where you go and there's more fans from the opposing team. I mean, to me, this is just sort of the tip of the iceberg and the excuse for those other owners to get rid of him. He's bad for the league. Randy in Vermont. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Cam Newton experience. I think the only reason Belichick is bringing Newton in is so Stidham can straight up beat him out in the quarterback competition, and they can move along with him as a starter.
Okay,
that's
let me
the
stop
only
you.
Reason to bring him in.
Okay, babe. McCarthy, Maz actually gives that a slight chance to being true. He thinks there's a chance that conspiracy theory actually holds. Do you?
No, absolutely not. Occam's razor here. What is the most simple solution? They don't buy in. They don't believe in the kid. I get that Bill is, how shall we say this, can be a little bit devious with stuff like this. I don't think he's bringing in Cam Newton just to pump the kid up. I don't think that's the way it works.
Okay, we got a full phone board, lots of different topics because it is agenda free. I'm just looking through it here, McCarthy. I don't see any on that baseball game you're talking about to open up the show.
No, that's a real shame, Mike. It is. They must not be able to get through. It's a very popular program.
I still don't know the game you were talking about. Either way, we'll pick up your calls. Pasternak's one of the items on the board. We'll get to it in our long commercial-free segment right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't know what you can tell us about Asa and Kasha not being able to practice, but has it reached a level of concern for you? I know you wanted to hopefully have a full team out there today.
Yeah, that was the plan. We were going to have smaller numbers. There's another group going out now, or 11:30. Pasta and Kasha will not be in it. As for the lead fit to participate right now, Hopefully that changes in the near future. And yeah, I mean, anytime players miss, you know, a session where we expect them back up in full speed, then you know, until he's out there, then, you know, it is a concern for us as a team, but we're just going to forge ahead.
All right, so what's also different about the Pastrnak and Kashe absences is that Cassie has said it's a concern. He just said it right there, it's a concern. Nordstrom missed today, unfit to participate. He said he's going to be back tomorrow. Didn't say he was concerned. Rask, Tuukka Rask, left practice 3 days ago, came back. Next day's practice, went out, didn't come back. Britt Cassie was asked about it, wasn't concerned. Rask was passed out there today. So when he's asked about Pastrnak and Kashe, he says there's concern, which, you know, again, leads you to believe that maybe it is a COVID situation, whether it's a positive test or not, or he's exposed himself to someone who, you know, has it, or something that leads to a quarantine or leads to an extended timeout. It's bad news. And, you know, it shouldn't knock him out of the whole thing. But if it puts him behind the eight ball, if it puts him behind 2 weeks behind his teammates and he's out of shape or he's out of condition, right, he's not up to speed with everybody else and the games have started, and all of a sudden you're getting those round-robin games and you don't win them and you're the fourth seed and you have to play Pittsburgh in the first round or something, who knows? You know, I mean, every little bit is going to count. Every little bit always counts.
Yeah, and so
I'm sorry, Murray. The Bruins aren't that good where they can win with less than their best players or, you know, everyone tugging the line. It's not like they have this margin. They didn't have it last year. Pastrnak wasn't the same guy, and it was one of the things that cost them.
No, if they're going to win, they have to have him, and this is why I said yesterday, this is legitimately the first thing sports-related in 4 months that's made me angry, because they need him if they're going to have a successful postseason, which I felt like they were going to before the shutdown. And to have this happen, it's, you know, I know we're not going to know, and they're protecting the players, but it's just, it's frustrating because you now have had this downplayed a bit by Cassidy today in terms of the party boy aspect. So now it just leads me to believe that it's a conditioning thing more than anything else, and that still falls on Pastrnak in terms of a lack of personal responsibility.
So, Cassidy said explicitly it's not conditioning. Jimmy, do we have sound? Do we have sound from today?
I only have a quick cut question and answer, just of no real update that I can still play, but I don't know that it's worth it.
Okay, then let's not play it. I'll just, you know, read it again. He said this isn't personal discipline, and he says in terms of conditioning, if anything, when you've been out that long, you have to go the other way and skate them more to get them up to speed.
Okay, so he did say that.
Yeah, he basically said it wasn't disciplinary and it wasn't conditioning. And I don't think it's an injury, or all the guys down there saying it couldn't be an injury because they both skated 2 days ago and looked perfect, or, you know, looked, you know, full go, no signs of injury, and, you know, participated in the full session. So you sort of narrow it down, and it's either an injury that, you know, cropped up overnight to both of them. What, did they get in an arm wrestling contest and both pull a bicep? I mean, so it's both those two guys who were together in the check, came back together, showed up to practice the exact same day, you know, were cleared the exact same day, and then were shut back down the exact same time. And again, we're photographed together out and about, et cetera, and we're training together even here together. So it's something along those lines. Either way, all I know is he ain't ready to go, and everyone else is, and that should frustrate you. So that's one of the items on the board. We've got that and everything else here on an agenda-free Friday. Let's bring on Cam and Taunton, something on the future of Boston sports, Cam.
Yeah, and Falco, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, I think we would all agree that the next generation, if we had to pick one person from each team, it would be Tatum, Pastrnak, Devers, and Stidham, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and these last 2 weeks have been not good looks for any of them. Tatum is all wishy-washy about whether he wants to play. I don't have a basket. I can't shoot. I don't know if I want to go to Orlando. I'm too busy golfing. Pastrnak either has the virus or he's out of shape. Devers shows up so out of shape, the Red Sox send him over to BC to work out on his own to get in condition before he even joins the team. And Stidham loses his job. So that's a bad look for all of them these last few weeks.
That's a nice point, Cam. They've all got to show that they've got what it takes. They all have to show. And of all of them, I put Pastrnak at the top of the list. You know, at least Tatum is there. At least Tatum has passed his tests and shown up, and he's practicing every day. Okay? So Devers, I don't even know this. Is this true, McCarthy? They had to send him like a fat farm at BC?
Yeah, they sent him over to BC. The question is, was it that he was exposed to somebody who had COVID or was he out of shape? But yes, they did send him over to BC with a couple other people. We never found out who those other people were, but he was over at BC working out there.
Interesting. But the Stidham thing, the Stidham thing I do agree with. I think something happened here in the interim to change their mind on Stidham for this year. Nick and Needham on that topic. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call again. And I just want to ask you all a question about the issue of Cam versus Stidham. Now, I realize there's a lot of speculation about, Stidham going to Texas and maybe there's bad tape and what have you. But And believe me, Felger, I agree with you. It's not lost on me at all that Cam might not make it through the off season. I get that 100%, and I agree with you 100%. However, does it really boil down to this quite simply? Did they just think, well, we can get Cam effing Newton on a 1 year cheap, or we can go with Stid? And it's really just as simple as that. I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think the key thing that you said there is we get Cam Newton for cheap. I mean, Cam Newton's about the contract. If Cam Newton asked for $3 million, they wouldn't have signed him. So, I mean, you could say that they loved him. They wanted him from the start. They didn't want him that bad because they were only going to get him or only going to sign him if he asked for nothing, if they got him for free, basically, which is what they got him for. So that's why that's also McCarthy why I think he's cuttable, because he's got a cuttable contract. Those are the guys you got to watch first.
Well, sure, but again, you still brought him in on June 28th, which I think tells you how they feel about Jarrett Stidham, because they're going to have to change the offense for this guy, right? Theoretically, if you're going to bring Cam Newton in and you're going to be successful, you're going to build the offense around him. That's not going to help Jarrett Stidham. That's going to hurt him. So I think bringing in Newton is definitely an indication of how they feel about Jarrett Stidham, because I think it stunts his development for 2021, Mike. I mean, he's going to play in a Cam Newton-style offense. Like, how does that help him? It doesn't.
Buck on the couch on Dan Snyder. Go ahead, Buck.
Gentlemen, like your takes a lot about the Dan Snyder. Michael, question for you. If this is the Globe that runs a story on Kraft, what's your take then?
So my take is that it looks bad. They've got to, institutional control. They've got to, reset the organization. But to me, Robert Kraft's track record is too strong. And so what? Are you implying like the Orchids of Asia? You would add that onto the Orchids of Asia thing and he would have to go? No. So, I mean, again, no one's saying that this is a legal thing, or that the authorities should come after anyone. No one's saying that about Dan Snyder. This is about if you're another owner in that league, if you're the 31 other one owners, and you look at Robert Kraft's track record, and even if you add in Orchids of Asia and then if they ran into this kind of story, even if you lump those two things together, you'd step back and you'd say, well, let's put all the positives from Robert Kraft and all the negatives from Robert Kraft and add them up. At the end of the day, does he net out to good for business or bad for business?
Good for business.
Good.
Excellent for business.
It's not even close, right? So, no, that would not derail Robert Kraft. This is analogous to Donald Sterling in that the guy hasn't done hardly a single thing right in the 20 years he's owned the team. I mean, it is one calamity after the next, to the point where if I'm a fellow owner in that club, I'm saying, you're hurting us. You've been hurting us. You continue to hurt us. Enough. And, that's why I think Dan Snyder goes, not for this singularly. It's the track record leading up to this, Jim Murray.
Yeah, I get it. But the track record proves him to be right now is a defiant a-hole boob. And so with Donald Sterling, when we got that tape, which was recorded by that girlfriend of his, like, that's like, oh, okay. What we had thought, again, thought and fact, I think, are different. And that's where it gets muddled here, especially nowadays. It's like, okay, now that you have the fact, all right, he's got to go. We now know what we thought. And so Donald Sterling had to go, and rightfully so, because what he said was putrid and reprehensible, and you can't have a guy like that owning an NBA team in the most socially conscious of the leagues. But right now, all that Dan Snyder has proven to be is a defiant a-hole boob, and I just don't think you can remove him, barring anything direct, because it's a precedent that I think would open an infinite can of worms for all the other NFL owners.
Okay, well, I don't think you're being totally fair. I mean, he oversaw and shepherded a organization that was
Something out of the 1950s. I mean, again, that story in the Washington Post, there was no, I don't think, bombshell, like, you know, smoking gun, none of the stuff that was rumored online. So it was, you know, a quote-unquote disappointment from that regard. And it was really like, I mean, that's how offices were in the 1950s, right? Like, it was a boys' club.
Like Mad Men. You ever watch that show?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
You're pinching asses and, you know, hitting on the secretary, and it's like something that was acceptable, just like the team name, something that was acceptable in the 50s and 60s and wasn't a long time ago. Like, that's what I would say that organization is. But he's still responsible for that. It's not just him being an obstinate boob. His shop was rife with sexual harassment. That's his responsibility.
Yeah, well, again, no? I ultimately, yes, was that going on under him? I just think that I want something, for me, if he's got to go, I want something directly linking him to it, directly. Like, I would need, you know, some hard evidence, rather than just, well, it was his shop and he's got to go because of it.
All right, folks, what do you think? We continue with your thoughts on that on an agenda-free Friday. 90 seconds for a quick update from Matt McCarthy, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.